Hello and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. This is a big week for the future of mental health care in Michigan. All the complexities aside, which we have covered at length on Stateside over the past year, essentially it comes down to one question. Should the mental health services remain in control of public entities like community mental health centers, or should private insurance companies take the lead? At stake is nearly $2.5 billion a year in Medicaid funds and the services for more than 350,000 Michiganders who are receiving care for severe and persistent mental illnesses. Now, virtually everyone agrees the system can be improved, and integrating mental health care with physical health care would both reduce costs and improve services. The health plans say they can do it more efficiently and effectively. The advocates say patients and their families overwhelmingly want it to stay in the public's hands, and that the health plan's financial incentives don't align with caring for our most vulnerable citizens. Legislators will announce their budget proposal for the Department of Health and Human Services this week, and it'll include just which way they want things to go. With us now is John Lindstrom, publisher of Gongwer News Service, and he's been following this in the legislature. John, it's the House Appropriations Health and Human Services Subcommittee that gets the first say on this, led by Representative Edward Canfield. He's a Republican from Sebewaing. What's he saying so far?
Not a thing. He is keeping this as tight to the vest as I've seen few other things. Everyone understands the controversy involved in this. To be actually technical, the Senate subcommittee is going to meet on Tuesday, but they've already said whatever we do is going to be nothing compared to whatever the House does. But they don't know either at this point. We've not been able to track down a single source who knows and will say definitely what it is the subcommittee on the House side is considering for this program.
And as you're saying, Senate is kind of sounds like it's getting out of the way of the House?
I think they want to see what the House is going to propose and what therefore might get through at least the Appropriations Committee and then move from there. And the governor's office has been rather circumspect on this. Obviously, Lieutenant Governor Calley played a major role in trying to get some agreement on principles at least of what should be considered as they move towards some sort of a consolidation or coordination system for Medicaid payments between both mental health and physical health, but they have not come out at this point and directly said what it is they would like or whether or not they're involved with the House subcommittee in coming up with their proposal.
So it sounds like everybody in the Capitol is tight-lipped. What about when you talk to advocates of the mental health care community? What are you hearing? What worries them the most?
Well, you talk to the advocates, and quite a number of them will say that at some point a type of coordination would make sense because, of course, these are patients who not only get Medicaid for mental health reasons, but they also, many of them, get Medicaid for physical health reasons, and there are very often a lot of physical health problems that some of these folks suffer with as well. What they are most concerned about, though, is making sure that the patients get the kinds of treatment that they need and that treatment is based solely on what is best for the patient, as opposed to what might be the most cost-effective, which I suppose in theory could also be the best thing. But they want to make sure that the best treatment is the first priority, and then you move from that point. And they are very concerned that if you set up a system that coordinates benefit payments through a single entity, such as the HMOs, which have done a very, very good job in terms of coordinating and providing care for physical patients under Medicaid, and there's been a lot of surveys and research finds that physical health patients are relatively satisfied with the treatment and the care they get, that won't be the first priority, that it will in fact be more cost-focused and cost-conscious as opposed to treatment-focused.
How could the House Republican effort to cut individual income taxes factor into all of this?
Well, it could factor, and to what degree, that's another thing we're still not quite certain of. We do know that the DHHS budget that the subcommittee will propose will be somewhat smaller than what the governor has proposed. We don't know specifically that the Section 298 provision, which is what we've been talking about, will be significantly smaller. The governor didn't really put a lot of money into that specific section. But it could play a role. I mean, obviously, if you're looking at, for House Republican side, if you're looking for a way of finding a way to cut the income tax, you've got to find a way, therefore, to cut expenses. And if you can find things that will cost less in the long run, such as possibly coordinating payments for mental and physical health, then that's something that they're going to consider. We have to remember that Representative Canfield is a physician. One presumes he is thinking about what would be good for patients as well as what would be good for the state coffers.
So, John, what comes after this week's budget announcements? What do we watch for?
We still have some time left before there's a final decision on this, but the legislature and the governor would like to see the budget completed by the beginning of June. There's been some talk that we may go too close to mid-June, but most people think June 1 is the actual drop-dead date that they're trying to get the budget done by. So by some time, we're not talking eons, we're talking weeks at most before there's a decision of some sort.
John Lindstrom, publisher of Gangwer News Service. John, thanks so much for speaking with us and filling us in.
You're welcome.